Blog Talk Radio.
Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, and I greet you all, my distinguished panel and the listening audience, in our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam.
Thank you. I would first like to say that I want to welcome everybody in the listening audience. I can't thank you enough for your love and your support and for always listening to anything I just put up there. But out of all of the shows that I've created on this network, I think this show here in particular is the one that I am most proud of because it gives us an opportunity to study and better ourselves. And so tonight I'm going to be passing the reins of hosting over to our beloved brother from Tampa, Florida, Student Minister James Muhammad. Come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself to us and tell us what is your vision for this broadcast.
Thank you, Sister Gidget. And once again, I want to express my appreciation for this wonderful opportunity you have extended to me and, of course, many others. I want to thank our wonderful listening audience for taking time out of your busy schedules and tuning in and sharing your thoughts, making your contributions to whatever subject matter Allah blesses us to discuss. Without you, there would be no show. And I want to thank the panel guests. I want to thank our brother, student regional representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Southwest Region, Student Minister Robert Muhammad. And I want to say that, you know, Brother Robert, I don't know if you remember how we first met. I was a little nondescript FOI at the Million Man March, and I was on your detail. It was the press detail, and I remember following you around and awaiting your orders, but I will never forget that day, Brother Robert. And since then, I have been blessed to witness your meteoric rise in the nation and the great contributions that you have brought to this mission of the resurrection of the dead. So I'm very honored that you are here, and our young brother, Gary Muhammad. As you know, Brother Gary, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has requested, particularly of our young people, to discuss this subject matter on social media, whatever mediums that are available where our young people are connecting one with the other, and discuss this subject matter of the time and what must be done, and plumb the depths of the words. Now, as I close my opening, my vision, as I gave it thought, is to, of course, be in pursuit of the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who instructed all of his students that we would discuss this subject matter every week in our study groups as well as our Sunday lectures. And I want to read from the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 10th verse, which gives us wonderful scriptural support of the minister's decision. As you know, and those of you who are listening, you know that this is a man whose decisions are guided by Almighty God and his Christ. And it reads, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Once again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And I'd like to see, with the help of Allah, and if it pleases Allah, the inspiration of study circles in whatever areas where this broadcast or this radio program reaches. It will inspire study circles. And out of those study circles, they will grow into study groups, and from study groups into mosques, until this subject matter envelops the whole earth, and everyone will be speaking the same thing, the time, and what must be done. And may Allah bless us all in this endeavor, and I thank you so much. I thank Allah. And I thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, without whom I would not have anything at all to say. So I thank Allah for him. He's my teacher, my mentor, and my guide. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir.
Hello.
Okay. Well, Brother Minister James.
Well, dear family, I would like to ask if Student Minister Robert would start us off by discussing the relevance at this time for delivering such series of lectures on this subject, the time, and what must be done. Why now has the minister decided to take this subject matter, Brother Minister?
Well, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Well, you know that there are five essential knowledges that we like to refer to. It's the knowledge of God, the knowledge of self, the knowledge of others or the devil, the knowledge of the time, and the knowledge of what must be done. Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad laid a foundation for us by teaching us of God, self, and devil, and he pointed to us about the time and what must be done. But there has to be a man that comes with that time. That man is an instrument by which we tell time. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he's a man left in our midst by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that is our hourglass. He is our stopwatch. He is our calendar. He is our chronometer.
That's right. He is
our compass. He is the instrument by which we tell time, and he is the instrument by which we learn if we're going in the right direction. So him being inspired by Allah to take up this subject over these 52 weeks lets us know now that the clock is moving closer to fulfillment. And I'll just wrap this little part up, is that we are moving ever closer to fulfilling or closing out the first 100 years since the expiration of the devil's civilization in 1914. We go through 1913, we go to 1914, we go to 2014, that's 100 years. And within that 100 years of the end of the devil's civilization, according to our lessons, then the bright morning star appears, that Son of Man comes from the east to the west, makes himself known, ushering in this millennium. So we're in the very early stages of a 1,000-year period or millennium of the Mahdi. So all of these things are intersecting as you and I are now in the midst of the fall of America, or I should say, put it like this, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put it, an old world going out and a new world coming in. And what you're seeing is an old world that's going out with wailing and gnashing of teeth, as Jesus said. And you're seeing our world being born like a woman in travail, because Sister Gidget can bear witness that in giving birth, it is full of fainting and pain to give birth to a new life. And that's exactly what we're experiencing. So the minister is letting us know that this is the time, and we have to know what must be done. So we have to coincide that with what are we doing. We're in the midst now of raising $10 million down payment on our liberation to acquire some land so that we may be productive, we may feed ourselves, and we may support independent education. I'll stop at that point, Brother James.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Robert. Brother Gary, would you like to weigh in on this?
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
When I first heard the minister deciding to do the lecture series, the time and what must be done, the first thing came to my mind is, what is he trying to tell us? Is he trying to point out to us the very prudent things that are going to happen in our lives within the next few weeks, a few months, and a few years, that would be so critical that we would have to make a decision to ensure that we live through the events that would take place in this detrimental time. So I was reflecting on what are some of the events that Minister Farrakhan was going to point out and the relation of these events to prophecy, the prophecies of Bible and the prophecies of Holy Quran. And I wanted to ask myself, where do we stand in these prophecies, regardless to our different religions, regardless to our different beliefs, regardless to the different places we live in America? And I said to myself, after Minister Farrakhan points these things out, there's a decision I believe I and those who hear him will have to make. And this will determine whether or not we survive the time to live into a new time. And this is what I would really like to point out and what it is that I see in the 52-week lecture series that Minister Farrakhan is engaging in to help warn us of what it is we will soon have to do. But that is pretty much it, my friend.
Thank you, Brother Gary. All praises due to Allah. Sister Gidget, would you like to add something to the discussion?
Yes, sir. You know, what was most profound to me was when the minister started out with Surah 103, and in the third verse of that, it says, except those who believe and do good and exhort one another to truth and exhort one another to patience. And it's ironic, Brother James, because we just had that conversation this morning in a sense. And so, you know, when we talk about truth and we talk about being patient, we're at a time now where the atmosphere is uneasy, and even some of the believers are uneasy, and the enemy is uneasy. And so, you know, there's a great patience, and I talked to Brother Gary about this in great detail. There's a great patience that it appears that it's going to be required of us. And so I just want, you know, you, the ministers, kind of to elaborate on that, if you would, because we have those, when it says exhort each other in truth, we have those that are questioning the truth. We have those that are becoming impatient. So I want to know, in this time, when we are at a period of almost peril, how do we know and recognize truth, and how do we remain patient?
Well, I think that's an excellent question to ponder, Sister Gidget. You know, the Bible teaches us that God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Mine are from above, while yours is from beneath. So when we make the standard or recite the standard, surely man isn't, or by the time, surely man isn't lost, except those who believe and do good. Then the question is, believe in what and believe in who? And how is good determined and defined? Is good determined and defined by our understanding of the word? And who and what should we believe in? And certainly it's critical that we discern from God's mind and his, and from his point of view, what he means by his words, because we certainly don't want to be in loss. And I'll ask again, Brother Robert, or Brother Minister Robert, if you will respond to that.
Well, I was again thinking, as Brother Gary was speaking, and, you know, as our 5% nation, Earth and God, talk about build,
mm-hmm.
We're definitely building at this time. And I immediately set my mind to the verse that says, O you who believe, seek assistance through patience and prayer. It goes on to say, for surely Allah is with the patient. And I often wondered why patience was put before prayer, since Islam is mathematics and mathematics is Islam. And you know that when you solve a mathematical equation, there's certain steps that you must do in sequence in order for the answer to come out right. So Allah has given us patience before prayer in that particular verse in the Holy Quran. And it just comes down to us having to understand that if we don't, if we're not patient, we won't wait for what we're praying for. Now, what are we praying for? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Our Savior's Arrive, in the chapter entitled Time, says, if you disbelieve in the truth, would only consider the time. If you who disbelieve in truth would only consider the time in which we now live, you would bear witness that it is the very truth from your God that I am teaching. Just when should we expect truth to be triumphant? The answer is after the removal of falsehood.
That's
so
true.
We must exhort one another to truth, exhort one another to patience. And in part why some of us are losing patience and losing our salvation is that we are not waiting for the removal of falsehood. And in Texas, we have a law called the Law of Parties. If you go to the liquor store and you stick up and your homeboy says, look, get in the car, man, we're going for a ride. And you get in the car with one of your friends. He goes into the liquor store, the convenience store, robs the place, and kills the clerk. In Texas, that's a capital offense because you committed two felonies, particularly a homicide with another felony. Now, what am I saying? If you're in the car with him, though you didn't pull the trigger and though you didn't even know they were going to rob them, you can be charged with the capital murder because it's called the law of parties. You just happen to be with them. If we're not patient to wait for the removal of falsehood, then when God executes his judgment, we will be considered the law of parties and we will go down with those who have not exhorted one another to truth, who have not believed, and who had not done good. So time, by the time, is like saying, how did he die? He died by gunshot wound. He died by lethal injection. He died by electrocution. Surely man is in loss. In loss. In loss has connotations of place. So there's a time and place that we're going to be. And the only way to get out of it is to believe, as you said, Brother James, or raised in the question, you have to believe in the truth as brought by Master Farad Muhammad to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, today being elucidated and enucleated by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we can't just sit on our laurels and on our rusty dusty. We got to get up and go to work and spread that truth and be patient for the fall or the removal of falsehood and the establishment of truth.
Thank you, Brother Minister. Thank you. You know, I posed the question relating to belief. In this hour, it is apparent that there is great dissatisfaction and as such great and with such great confusion in the earth. We have reached a time where there's so many different faith expressions, so many denominations, each looking for ultimate salvation, each looking for an answer to the great confusion and dissatisfaction that abounds in the earth, that, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said, has reached 100%. The question becomes, how do we bring these different faith expressions together on the basis of a common thread of truth that all can relate to and none are isolated or ostracized because of a particular label or a particular title or a particular dogmatic ritual? And Brother Gary, would you like to weigh in on that, dear brother?
I sure would, my friend. It's one thing for us to be of a different religious persuasion, but it's another thing when an event takes place that cares nothing about your religious persuasion. I believe this is the common thread that we will have to use to unite the people to understand the time and what must be done. So we as students of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is the divine chosen servant of Master Farad Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, have to become students of all the different religions, all the different religious books. We have to show the people how the prophecies are being fulfilled right in their own books, and then show them how what Minister Farrakhan is saying is in line, in tune, and the fulfillment of the book that they say they believe in. I believe that's the door we will have to use to sit down with our Christian families, our Buddhist families, regardless of their religious title families, to get them to pay attention to what Minister Farrakhan is pointing out to us all on what we're going to have to do in a very short while, my friend.
Thank you, beloved. I think that's a very wonderful way to look at it, and that, of course, is the direction that the minister is exhorting us to dismantle the walls of division found in every faith expression so that we can hold to that common thread of truth that runs throughout all religions. Let's get into the word, the actual word of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this magnificent series of lectures. He begins in part one, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. By the time, surely man is in loss, except those who believe and do good, and enjoin one another to truth, and enjoin one another to patience. In this Quranic chapter, the minister writes, time is a yardstick of measurement of consequence. By the time, surely man is in loss. So the time will determine, number one, whether we lose or whether we win. Number two, whether we live or whether we die. And number three, whether we suffer privation or whether we grow in prosperity. He continues to write, it all depends on what we do with the knowledge of the time. How we measure time from the arrival of Adam. And I'd like to get into this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we're not dealing with time as with the solar system and its time of origin. We are dealing with the time of a people and the civilization whose time has come to an end. The civilization started 4,000 B.C. to back 6,000 years ago. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, as it is written, and you'll pardon me, my computer's freezing up here, but as it is written, man, I'm sorry about that. Oh, there it goes. All right. As it is written, excuse me for a moment, please forgive me.
That's okay.
Let me get this going.
Well, Minister James, if you don't mind, we do have someone with a question. Do you want to take it at this time?
Sure, I'll take it. Yeah, if I could just, I hate to leave the.
I can read it for you, brother.
Oh, thank you, brother. Go right ahead. I appreciate it. My computer freezing.
Okay.
Thank you. Just complete that.
716, your mic is live. Area code 716, your mic is live.
Oh, it's your girl, A Money, and I just called in to say assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sister A Money. How are you, beloved?
I'm doing good. I'm swamped, but I had to take time to show you all some love. I miss you all, and hopefully I'll get to be on here more often.
Yes, ma'am, and I appreciate your love and your support, and thank you for joining us so much.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. You guys are doing a great job. If anything I can do, just let me know.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
Well, praise be to Allah. Brother Gary, could you finish that paragraph? I hate to leave it truncated like that.
Absolutely.
Please finish it for me, brother. Thank you.
Yes, here it is. It says, so as it is written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 3,
Brother Gary.
Okay, well, it seems like everybody that picks this up gets cut off. Let me try.
You got it, Brother Minister.
Yes, as it's written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, verse 12, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Children meaning a new people on our planet. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us, and the scholars and scientists bear witness, that this is a new people, that this new people are the Caucasian people. They are on our planet, and they have been given a season to rule, to dominate, but not to rule with righteousness, to rule with other than righteousness. And that rule was going to last for 6,000 years. Unfortunately for them, they caused trouble in the Holy Land of Arabia after they were made, and they were driven from the Holy Land into the hills and cave sides of Europe, where they spent 2,000 years and went completely savage, even losing the knowledge of themselves. Well, it meant 2,000 years of lost time, but they had 4,000 more years to rule, to live, and to dominate everything, every people on our planet. But they could not dominate. They could not dominate until God raised a prophet from them, and that prophet was a man named Musa or Moses.
Thank you. And while you're on that, but since you so successfully read it, Brother Minister, could you please now, let us try to plumb some of the depths of these profound words. For example, why now is it so important in a discussion of the time and what must be done that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan must point out the clear historical origins of the peoples of the earth?
Well, brother, if you look at the first thing that we have to do in becoming a registered Muslim is we have to recite 100% the student enrollment, which has underneath of it parentheses rules of Islam. And therefore, that gives us the criteria by which we judge or we view things from. It's the prism by which we look at everything. And we're always given these questions. If you look at the questions and how they're sequenced, the questions always give us clear comparison. Who is the original man? Who is the colored man? What is the population of the original nation? What is the population of the colored people? What is the area square miles of planet Earth? How much is land? How much is the water? What is square miles of useful land that's used every day? How much is used by the original man? How much land is used by the colored man? What is the birth record of said nation of Islam? What is the birth record of said other than Islam? So our rules of Islam teach us that we always have to look at things and make sure that we understand that there are differences. These are made people. We are created people. We came with the originator. These are made people. So we have to look at one is original and other one is grafted. Now, why is it important? Because their very nature or the very teaching, the very scientific principle that they're born out of is that opposites attract and light repel. So, but if we don't understand why we are attracted to them and why they continue to have mastery over us, then we're going to go down with them, as I tried to explain in that law of parties. It's important, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote again in that same chapter called Time, he says that the time of the white race is divided into three periods of 2,000 years each. The first 2,000 years was the period between Yaqub, the father and grafter of the white race, to the birth of Musa, Moses, to the birth of Isa, Jesus, the last great prophet to the white race. The third 2,000-year period is from the birth of Isa to the coming of Allah, often referred to by Christians as the coming of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of Man, or the second coming of Jesus. In Islam, it is referred to as the coming of the great Mahdi, the coming of Allah to the birth of Muhammad. So it is important that we know their history and their place in the history, because their history only comes from the ninth to the 15,000th year of our 25,000-year cycle. So once we understand, we have to come to understand that these are temporary and temporal people. They're not eternal. They won't be around forever. And if we don't separate ourselves first mentally, spiritually, morally, ethically, folkways, mores, norms, values, attitudes, and then eventually physically separate, we then will taste the fire that they were made from. So this time that we're in is very important that we understand and be able to distinguish differences, original, colored, population of one versus the population of others. When you drill down into the student enrollment itself, you know, going beyond the lessons, because the lessons are a whole nother story, because the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said to me once, and probably said to us, Brother James, in our ministry class, you know, why did Musa have a hard time civilizing the devil 2000 BC? Well, he said, the question is not why did Musa have a hard time civilizing the devil 2000 BC? Minister Farrakhan said the real question is, why did he ask his servant why? Mm-hmm. And it is because, and it goes on further, you know, when the minister talks in this particular episode of The Time of What Must Be Done, is because just as they went in the caves, we're in a cave right now. We're uncivilized. We've lost the knowledge of self. We're living a beast life. And our modern-day Musa must come in now and civilize us. So this subject is so rich and so, I guess it's cliche to say, and so on time.
Yeah, yes, sir. But that's right, Brother Minister.
I mean, Brother, just that one paragraph that we read, Brother, we could do six shows off of just this one paragraph.
All praise is due to Allah. And, you know, I'll call upon you to help me do just that, dear brother. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. But you make an excellent point. And what it points to, beloved, is how divine guidance can lift people out of whatever humble condition they or deplorable condition they may be in. And if divine revelation and guidance can lift the cave dwellers or those that have the humble and modest beginning of living in the caves and hillsides of Europe and evolve them and develop them to literally the greatest civilization in terms of technology and in terms of certain areas of science and economics and politics, if divine guidance can do that for them, then it can do that for us who are in our cave-like condition, and we have to bear witness that our actions reflect those of a savage. And, of course, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that a savage is one who has lost the knowledge of himself and is living the life of a beast. And it is the bestiality and brutality of fratricidal murder and war and bloodshed in our communities that we inflict on ourselves that is the savagery that we, by way of divine guidance and revelation, need to be and are being, by the grace of Allah, raised from. Brother Gary, you want to weigh in on this, dear brother?
Sir, my phone had some technical difficulties, so I missed most of what Brother Robert had stated and what you had stated as well. If they can briefly abreast me or wait for the next question so I can weigh in. It's up to you.
Okay. Let me ask you, Sister Giselle, are there any callers waiting online who may want to weigh in. We certainly like to get them involved, get the audience involved.
There are some callers on the line, yes, sir. But if anyone has a question, please press 1 on your dial pad. For those of you who are in the chat room, welcome and assalamu alaikum. If you have a question, please type it in, and I will ask it on your behalf. But no questions at this time, Brother James.
Okay, very good. Very good. Well, let's move on. Is everyone in?
I have a question if you don't mind.
Not at all, sis. Go ahead.
Because I want to talk about what the minister said in the segment one, part one of the time of what must be done. I remember him saying that Noah preached for 150 years. About the need of the people to board the ark, to avoid the wrath, so to speak, of Allah at that time, which was, of course, we know as the Great Flood. And I wanted to understand better what was it in that time, as it is appears to be in this time, that have kept the people so rebellious and that have made the people reject one that has come forth to give you truth? Because when I look at Minister Farrakhan and when I recall, I'm blessed to recall the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They are often rejected, but then there's no one to dispute against them or to prove them to be in error. Yet the spirit and the will of the people seem to be rebellious. So I want to understand better, as in that time and as in this time, what is it outside of the conditioning of the mind by our slave masters that keeps us so rebellious?
Okay, Brother Gary, you're up there, brother.
Well, this is what I will say. The first thing came to my mind is when the Holy Quran tells us what the people of Noah's day labeled him as. The Quran says the people of Noah's day called him mad. In some Quranic translations, it said they called him crazy. I posed the question to myself. What is it that the current people of Noah or America has done in regards to Minister Farrakhan's reputation that has caused the people to not properly not only perceive the man, but understand the message that is coming from his mouth that is straight from the divine? I said the media has placed Minister Farrakhan in the prison without bars.
Mm-hmm.
The prison that they've produced was a prison of destroying the man's reputation in the eyes of the people who don't really know him, who've never really listened to him, who've never studied his the teachings that he's given, or his followers that he's raising in the midst of a society that has gone crazy. This is what I believe the problem is, sis. This is what I believe why the people are still in rebellion, even though they're in the doorway of the total chastisement of God. It's because they have been made to look at the messenger of God as a crazed and insane man versus a sane man and a divine man trying to get them out of the way of the destruction of Almighty God alone.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah.
And Minister James, Brother James.
Yes, ma'am.
I know you're fidgety, sir, but we hear your noise.
How you know it's me? Could be somebody else. And you know that's the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth. And I'll tell you, just on a side note, what you're saying is so true, because my wife, just before you talked to me, my wife said, you know, I can hear you fidgeting around, because she's listening on the phone. But you know what they say about the Spirit of God that is found in the revelation of God. I feel it in my bones.
Yes.
locked up in my boat. You know, I get the Holy Ghost and I can't keep still. But go ahead, I don't want to.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you.
But I will definitely exercise greater control. Sorry about that.
No problem. No problem. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Robert, Brother Minister Robert, would you like to respond to Sister Giselle, Sister Gidgets, I'm sorry, Sister Gidgets. Sister Gidgets expressed concern about the rebellion of the people.
Well, again, I'll refer, as Brother Gary did, but I'll refer to the Bible, the biblical language, where it says in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 5th verse, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continually. And that's very interesting that word continually is used. It wasn't just periodically. It wasn't just episodically. It was continually. And God says in the 7th verse, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth. It goes on further in the 11th verse. It says, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is to come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So what we're looking at is a condition that, as I said before, that the evil, the thought of their heart was evil, but it wasn't just every once in a while. It was continually. And right now, when you talk about 100% dissatisfaction, Brother James, as what the Honorable Elijah, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan has taught us, we're looking at things adding on to other things. We look at the economic condition. We look at the confusion in the church, for instance. On today, there was a case that came before the courts where, as the Catholics believe in not having abortion, and they consider fetuses to be persons, but yet when they were sued in a wrongful death suit by a husband whose wife came into the hospital, she had a heart attack, and they felt that the doctor that worked for this particular Catholic hospital did not come to the hospital in response to his call in time, so he sued because the two fetuses that were twins in her womb perished also. Now the Catholic Church is arguing in court that fetuses aren't a person, even though that very spiritual doctrine says that fetuses are a person. So now we're looking at confusion, as the minister pointed out to us in terms of determining what must be done. He talked about the Pope condemning same-sex marriage, and people are bucking up on the Pope. So we see a lot of confusion. We see even... and you know, if we troll the internet, we find that there are gay mobs now. People claiming to have gay mobs. I don't know whether it's in cyberspace or an actual place, but they're talking about that. So we're seeing this evil is continuous. It is nonstop. It's 900 channels of cable. It is XM radio, Sirius radio, where they say anything on the radio, anything goes on satellite radio. You got iPods, you got iPads, you got iPhones, you got every kind of way of them of information getting into your head, so your mind is not only impregnated sometimes with evil, video games, movies, you name it, your senses are being titillated by evil and constantly reinforced with that evil. So as the minister pointed out in that article, God wiped out that particular civilization and wiped out all his libraries and everything that would be a trace of that, would not only prick the minds of the evildoers, but it also reinforced it.
Yes, that's
sir.
Right, dear brother. Thank you. And I'll close on that point, Sister Gidget, with a follow-up in biblical support of what Brother Robert is saying and what Brother Gary also is saying in the chapter, 1 Timothy, the chapter 4. We read the first verse to the fifth verse reads, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, Brother Minister Robert, preach the word, Brother Gary, preach the word, Sister Giselle, be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. So there you have it, Sister Giselle. It is prophesied that this kind of rebellion would take place, and we have our marching orders, not only from Timothy, but the modern Timothy, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, preach the doctrine, preach the gospel.
Yes,
sir. Does it give you, he's giving you a holy name?
Giselle is pretty, but what does it mean?
I don't know. There's a sister that I know named Giselle, and the sound of it, the phonetics of it is so close to the Gidget. I mean, it's the G. Give me a break. and so I slipped. But I like Gidget, you know.
I settle for Gidget for now. We have a question. We're going to take a question.
Very good.
Area code 215. Your mic is live. Area code 215.
Hey, what's going on, brothers? This is James Paul from Philadelphia. How you doing?
Assalamu alaikum. How are you, dear brother?
I'm fine, brother. I'm doing fine. I've been listening to the show. It's a very good show. I think, you know, the point that Sister brought up is very crucial. I think one of the reasons why you had so much chaos is because we treat it as in the Holy Quran, it says we see the end of those who treat their messengers as liars. I think one of the biggest mistakes African Americans made was taking a forward Islam as opposed to accepting the messenger that was sent to them. And in the Holy Quran, it says, in Surah Ibrahim, it says, وَمَا أَرَسَنَا مِنْ رَسُولِينَ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ كَلِمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ فَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And we have not sent any messenger except the revelation, the language of his people, in order that he might make things clear to them, that Allah leaves to go astray whom he will. So the question would be, well, who is the message that was sent to the black man to speak the language of the black man? It has to be none other than the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so when we treat our messenger as liars, we're going to have this type of disorder and chaos.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Man, I love that. You hear that, brother? Reciting the right hand side of the book the right-hand side of the page, too.
Go ahead, brother.
Well, Philly is just an Islamic city, brother. Just Islam just oozes on the streets.
That's right.
And I very appreciate what that brother said. And in line with that, everything the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us over, Brother James, Brother Gary, and Brother James and Sister Gidget, for the Quran, chapter, Surah 6, verse 67, said, "For every prophecy is a term, and you will soon come to know it." So he warned us about the fall of America. He warned us about the decline of the dollar. He warned us over the collapse of the educational system. He warned us that there wouldn't be enough jobs for them, and certainly not enough jobs for us. He warned us that there would be starvation and famine in the land. He warned us that they would be loosed on us like fiery serpents because of our behavior and our refusal to accept and civilize ourselves and go the way of God. All those things that in fall of America, literally, we're watching come true again. And I'm just saying to just reinforce what Brother said and to build on what he said, Brother James out of Philly, that to ignore the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, just like we have, is to receive the consequences of what he warned us about. Every prophecy has a term.
That's right, dear brother. And while we're on that subject, I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt.
Goodbye.
I didn't want to interrupt.
I just wanted to talk to the host of the show because I'm actually writing a book that I want to begin to present. If I could get the contact information, if
welcome.
You invite people on your show, I would like to be on your show to present my book that I'm currently writing.
Okay, well, Brother James is the host.
Yes, ma'am, and I'd be glad to host you, dear brother. I just need your information. And as Sister Gidget informed me, in reference to the format of this particular forum, this is an opportunity for those who otherwise are unheard from to give voice to their understanding, their expression, you know, their belief and commitment to the mission of the resurrection of the dead and how they see the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There is so many what the minister refers to as unwrapped gifts. Unwrapped gifts in the nation. And we need to assist the minister if we can, if we're desirous of him having the best help he could have in unwrapping these otherwise unwrapped gifts so that he can access the great help that is out there to help him, that is desirous of helping him, and not only desirous, but qualified to help him. So this forum, Brother James, is that kind of forum. Okay?
Yes, I did receive my X. This is James 16X at my number 12.
Are you serious, brother? Wait a minute. Back home, that was my ex in New York, dear brother. I don't wish to digress, but I thought I was the only James 16 in the nation, brother. I got to tell Brother Jamil about this, man. But you were James.
Don't you, Sister Gidget, have his phone number? Didn't it come up in the queue?
Yes, sir, I do. I was going to explain to him that I would have Brother James contact him at this number if this is the valid number for you, sir.
Yeah, that's the number. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Well, sir, we will be getting in touch with you. Did you have any further questions for Brother Minister James or Robert or Brother Gary?
No, I just wanted to tell the brothers keep up the good work.
Thank you, dear brother.
And we appreciate you calling in and listening. Thank you so much.
All right.
Yes, we certainly do. And we appreciate all of our participants in the listening audience, those who are silent and may not have something they want to say at this time but are listening in, and those who are making their contribution. We appreciate you all. I want to talk about the practicality of the understanding and application of the basis of these series, that Quranic verse of Asr, by the time, being in loss, if we do not do that which is good, and we do not believe. You know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said many, 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 many years ago that the black man must do something for self before he is forced to. And, of course, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan highlighted this principle most recently in his lectures on the Day of Atonement, both in Philly and in Charleston. In Charlotte. Our constant cry and petition and appeal to the government for jobs and justice has spanned decades. And we have not had any reply. We have not had any help coming from that source. By the time, surely man is in loss. And now, today, we find ourselves hungry, naked, poor, jobless, out of doors, simply because we did not heed the word of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the word of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We must do something for ourselves. And Brother Robert, I'm going to lean to you on this, if you'd like to weigh in on it.
Well, of course, dear brother, the focus for us has to be the acquisition of land. Without land, there is no independence. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan, in the time and what must be done, he says, again, I go back to what I was talking about before, about those three periods of 2,000 years each. But he says here, now we are 2,000 years from Jesus, when we are in the 6,000th year. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the time of this world was up in the year 1914, but an extension of time was given by God as a grace period, because during that time, God would come and raise up from among the oppressed a messenger from himself, and he would give the messenger guidance and wisdom and warning for America. And he would give the messenger the knowledge of the time and what must be done. So when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us we need to get up and go to work, particularly when you look at Savior's Day 1974, when he told us, you know, you can talk about the Caucasian if you want to, and he'll turn around and say, yeah, but who made me? He said,
I didn't
raise you to be mockers of people. And then he told us again, he said, these people, they didn't stop us. Their flag is flying. They don't stop us from flying our flag. He said, show them respect. He said, and they don't stop you from doing for self. And the bottom line is that we are our own worst enemy in this regard because of our disobedience. So we need to understand that America is absolutely economically about to collapse. They're now $16 trillion in debt. They're nearly $80 trillion in unfounded entitlements and debt. And who is that debt owed to? See, nobody ever asked the question. We're borrowing money. They keep throwing us off by telling you China. But no, the only way that the Treasury can continue to get money is from the Federal Reserve that keeps printing it. And they're not a part of the government. Federal is a misnomer. These are private banks that keep lending us money and printing up money, and this country is in debt to them. Now, the IRS is the collection agency for the international bankers. They're like those people that call you up from ABC Collection Company. Hello, is this Mr. Muhammad? Yes, I'm Mr. Jones from ABC Collection Agency. You need to pay your tax because guess what? Your government has run up a debt, and I need to collect it from you. And if you don't pay me, I'll take everything that you got. But you're not even collecting it for the government. You're collecting it for the government so that they can pay the international bankers. America, when the Caucasian says that we got to take back our country, it's not from us.
That's
it's
right.
Because you got a black president, it's not from us. And those so-called drug dealers that Mr. Wayne LaPierre of the NRA talked about in his press conference, they have to take it back from the international bankers, the banksters that have robbed this country blind. So in wrapping up that point, beloved, with this country, if you look at it, its infrastructure is crumbling. Its educational system is failing. The weather is now a sign of Allah in its intensity. I mean, the snow that Chicago just got broke something like a 350-some-odd-day record of not having snow in Chicago. You believe that? Superstorm Sandy, it pushed the brothers in Philly. I'm surprised that Philadelphia is not called New Jersey now. Superstorm Sandy pushed the Jersey Shore, doggone there, into the Delaware Valley. And then now on top of that is snow? Oh, brother, the worst is yet to come. 50% of all the counties in America are under drought conditions. Allah is controlling the size of America, her shores by her shores. Disease, pestilence, a new strain of flu influenza. It had people sick in emergency rooms, overcrowded. Brothers, sisters, today people in fear, and as Honorable Ajahn writes, confusion of the people. People going out buying guns and more guns and running out of ammunition. These are some dangerous days that we're living in. But these are the days of Allah, and the worst is yet to come. The time and what must be done. Brothers and sisters, there is no Social Security for us to rely on. There's not going to be any Medicaid or Medicare for us to rely on. We're going to have to rely on each other. And I'll close with this point, Brother James. In 1945, there were 42 workers each retiree was supported by 42 workers compared to 3 workers in 2009. If you understand what I'm trying to tell you, there were 42 workers paying into the retirement or the Social Security system for every retiree. Now there's only 3 workers that is paying into that retirement, and the baby boomers are coming of age now. And what that's going to say is there won't be anything for you and I, and after soldiering for 20, 25, 30, 40 years in our nation, if we don't leverage our knowledge and our talent and our skill to organize our people in such a way that we can care for ourselves by creating a community, that means we're going to have to live together. That means that we're going to have to establish neighborhoods around our mosque or build a mosque and build a neighborhood around it. This is what we have to do. We have the acquisition of land and the creation of community so that we may care for one another, particularly as we get in our elder age. And this is, as the Honorable Louis Farrakhan asked, the brothers like our brother Gary that's on the line, for the young people to use the social media. But he's looking for the young people to come up now. But one day, Brother James, we're going to have to step back and be in a Muslim retirement home, but certainly we're going to have to be in a community where people can watch over us because we may be a little bit more frail and not have the kind of pessimist steps that we got today. One
day. I appreciate that, dear brother. And I'm going to ask you to speak for yourself. No. But in truth, you are absolutely right. And the exhortation of our young brother Gary and all of our young brothers and sisters who are listening to come forward as we recede in the background. And when I say we, I mean those of us who are bit up in age by the grace of Allah. Inshallah, I'll be 63 in a few days. And and you know, I feel very young and energetic. However, I know, as the minister said, those of us who are in these positions, not that I have one, but the minister said, and if you recall, Brother Minister Robert, he said, those of you who are in these positions and are apprehensive and anxious about some young person coming up and taking your place, he said, don't worry, they will. So it's an inevitability. And this is something that we should not be apprehensive about, but rather support and rather encourage and make sure it happens, as we have less years in front of us than we have behind us. It only makes sense that we invest our hopes, our support, our training, our teaching, our experience, and whatever we can bring to bear to ensure that our young people have a glorious future and take us to the next level in this great nation of Islam, and in fact for all humanity. So it's critical. You make a very critical point, Brother Robert, and the focus should be on our youth. And this, as we are in the second and last hour of this broadcast, I want to continue to read the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this magnificent series of lectures, particularly part one. He writes, "The scriptures teach us God's coming is after the working of Satan. So this mind that was present from Genesis to Revelation is a satanic mind. What makes it a satanic mind? Well, Adam rebelled after getting divine instruction directly from the mouth of God about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when Musa came," am I reading it in the right sequence? Or this computer? I'm really.
No.
Okay, well, do you have it in the right sequence there, brother? I don't know how this is coming out of sequence like this, but go ahead if you have it. I'd like to just finish that point. And please forgive us, listening audience, at our technical difficulties here.
I think you left off with the last word is satanic mind, right? Okay. It says, what makes it a satanic mind? Well, Adam rebelled after getting divine instructions directly from the mouth of God about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's the end of that paragraph. Would you like me to read the next one?
Go ahead. Yes, sir. Please.
In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the scripture teaches us that Adam was told, you may eat of the fruit of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, except this one, in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So after having direct instructions from God, Adam was deceived by the Satan of himself.
And stop right there, Brother Gary. I'd like us to talk about this concept of Satan, dear family. It is so diverse and so varying as we go from one religious belief to another, or one denomination to another. And of course, many believe that he's somewhere underneath the ground. And there's so many different misconceptions of this Satan. And if we're going to get a hold of Satan, certainly, we've got to identify him. So let's talk about it from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Brother Minister Robert?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that he is the arch deceiver. And if you look at an arch and the shape of an arch, then it always comes to an apex or a point. When the Honorable Louis Farrakhan was in Houston, he taught a subject called Wise Satan and Dumb Devil. So we can't get confused with the everyday tobacco chewing, snuff dipping, backwoods, inbreeding, ignorant, not flat world believing Caucasian. What we got to do is look at who is the creme de la creme of them, or the archetype of them. So now if we look, these people make up about 10% of the population, yet they rule over the other 90%. But within them is a smaller group that rules over them. And we see that the scriptures tells us that those who say they are Jews and are not, I will call them, make them the synagogue of Satan. So now they are liars, it says. So there are some people who are posing to be the followers of Musa, but they're not. They actually are the synagogue of Satan, who have taken the forgotten technology and taken it to such a level that not only do they trick us and master us, they trick and master their own people, who sometimes get wise and catch on and continue to persecute them. So amongst them is a ruling class of Caucasians that make up that satanic mindset that they would kill off the whole world, starve millions and billions of people, cause conflicts and allow conflict to go on, cause disease and allow disease to go out of hand, create panic in the streets, manipulate the mass media so everyone lives in fear, allow the proliferation of weapons and guns everywhere, all around, because they're not worried about that, because we're going to be slaughtering one another, and that means that they'll have more room to continue and time to continue to exploit and control the world. These people are very afraid of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. It is that satanic mind that is loose on the planet that says, in spite of what Moses said, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that, everything that Moses taught them that they shall not do, they come up with excuses as to why they should be able to do it without any hindrance whatsoever.
Yes, sir. That's right, Brother Minister. Brother Gary?
Yes, sir. I want to point something out here, because Minister Farrakhan is trying to evolve us into a deeper understanding of the origin of Satan. Mm-hmm. Take close attention to this. He says, brother, so after having direct instructions from God, Adam was deceived by the Satan of himself. I want you to think about that. He's not pointing to something outside of us. He's pointing to a force that is in us. Minister Farrakhan one day said that Satan is the left-hand expression of God. I want you to think about that, family. How can Satan be the left-hand expression of God? If we're taught everything in creation, Allah produces it, then if Satan exists, who produced him? If God produced Satan, for what reason did he produce Satan? And if he knew that Satan, or that force that he used to produce the Satan, then we have to ask the question, is that same force in the Adam that he's talking about in the Quran, is that same force in us right now? The answer is, family, yes, it's there. So now we have to tie that in into the current Satan, because in the Supreme Wisdom, we're taught to look at everything past, present, future, perfect tense. Now this is the present tense Satan. We're talking about those ones who've been given a superior degree of knowledge and wisdom to captivate the people of the planet under their ideology, causing them to deviate from the righteous way of God, making evil fair seeming. And as a result of that, they would pull up. Yes, sir? As a result of that, they would pull on that force, or the Satan within every human being on the planet, to go contrary to God. This is what Minister Farrakhan is wanting us to focus on. He's wanting us to focus on that force that is inside of ourselves, the Satan of self, that is causing us to be put in a position to be chastised and destroyed by God, by the exponent or the agent that was produced by Yahweh, to manifest that force and that defect inside of the current Adam or the original man. I believe us as followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and those who listen to him in their day-to-day goings have to focus on this and look deeper into what Minister Farrakhan is saying about the Satan of self. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, and you're right on it. I remember when the minister coined that particular definition of devil at the 1997 Savior's Day event in that historic address. He did say, devil is deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil fair seeming. He did, however, say that Satan produces devils. And that's another point perhaps we will plumb the depths of in the course of these shows as we plumb the depths of this great series. I mean, as Brother Robert said, it is so pregnant, so profound with wisdom that we could stay literally on one paragraph for six shows or more. All right? So let us, and thank you, Brother Gary, let's go more into the word as time is winding down. Sister Gidget, I'd also like to ask you again, is there anyone who wants to weigh in from the listening audience? We'd like to get them involved.
Yes, sir. There is one question. Area code 832, your mic is live.
Yeah, I just want to say to the brothers, I love you with all my heart. Sister Gidget, I love your breath. I love you, brothers. I love you more than my next breath.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. This is Milton. Hey. Oh, my goodness. This is my friend. He has been my friend for 32 years. He was the first person I met when I came here from California. How you doing, beloved?
I'm doing the way you look, sister.
Oh, my goodness.
Watch out, man. You got the right show, brother? Has he got the right show?
Are you sure this is the time and what must be done, or are we talking about courtship or mating, or what? Which show is this?
I will always love him. He is my friend. He is embedded in my soul. I have been knowing this man since I was 14 years old. So all praise is due to Allah. That's an everlasting, unconditional love that we have. He is the wonderful father of six beautiful girls, and he's just a wonderful soul. And I love you too, Milton.
Brothers, I love you, brothers. Hey, I love you, cats. I love you, cats. Y'all are my cats. I love you.
All praises due to Allah.
We love you too, brother.
We love you too, brother. All praises due to Allah.
Thank you, Milton. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for your constant support. This brother calls in on every show and listens, and this is the first time he's ever said anything, or the second time he's ever said anything. So thank you, and it's so good to hear your voice.
Thank you, sister.
Praise be to Allah. I want to mention... I want to mention at this point, Sister Gidget, to our listening audience, that this, of course, is our debut show, and we welcome your critique, your ideas, and your suggestions to make it more interesting, to make it better, more reflective of the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his message, his divine message to us. So we're very open-minded, and we look forward to your responses. So that's just a little station break there. Now,
if you don't mind, Brother James, before you move on to the next section, I want to ask a question of all of you. I'm going to call y'all the three wise men tonight. I want to get your idea, well, not idea, I want to get your interpretation of something that the minister said, and I want you all to expound on it so that our listening audience can have a better understanding, because there are many of us, and Brother Robert is particularly, who have political minds, and Brother Robert is one that is has a magnificent expertise in, how can I put it, in clarifying the political process and the position that we are in how it ties into religion and how religion ties into politics. And the minister said that there are four beasts, and that the beasts are representative of nations that devour the weak, and that they have no consciousness. And so if you would, each of you, starting with Brother Robert, if you would, expound on that, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, sir.
When you look at the Caucasian, as the minister points out in this article, he talks about how the Caucasian was in various tribes.
Yes, sir.
Then they came into nation states. And if you know anything about the Caucasian, especially when he was before he became nation states, after the fall of the Roman Empire, you got the Jutes, you got the Danes, you got the Saxons, you got the Angles, you got the Picts, the Scots, the Normans, the Britons, the Franks, the Lombards, the Vandals, the East Goths, the Visigoths, the West Goths, all of these fall into nation state. But these Indo-European languages, you pretty much have Celtic language, Germanic language, the Romanic languages, and the Slavic languages. These kind of like these four language groups. Okay? Now these beasts went around the world devouring the whole world. Because it doesn't matter what nation state they were, but if you look at it, when you look at Africa, Central America, South America, Asia, when they were loosed from the prison that we had put them in for 1,000 years after Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings were upon him, and the companions of Islam came up from the Arabian Peninsula and had them on lock for 1,000 years. And they celebrate Columbus because Columbus loosed them, just as Sir John Hawkins came and enslaved us, but he loosed them upon the world. And they went around the world, and as you look at World War One and World War Two, were a result of them fighting over how they were going to carve up the rest of the world. So you had the French, the English fighting against the Germans, and the Russians, being the Slavs, fighting against the Germans too. And they carved up each other's empire after World War One, and then they broke out and started fighting again in World War Two to settle what they didn't settle in World War One. So these people have gobbled up the whole earth. And if you think about it, there is no one people on this earth in the last 6,000 years that's gone around the world putting their seed in every other people's woman and renaming them and changing their language and giving them their names, these Caucasian people who were loose from the hills and cave sides of Europe after Christopher Columbus. So these beasts are these European or these Caucasian nations that have gone around the world devouring the whole daggone world. And now, as Minister Farrakhan said, in the time what must be done, the horrific mistreatment of black people must be accounted for. You have destroyed an entire people, yet the God of mercy has come to offer you and us a way to get out of the prophesied doom or to get an extension of time. Unfortunately, the only people in the Bible that got an extension of time from the prophesied destruction were the people of Nineveh under the call of Jonah.
That's right.
Brother Gary?
I'll tell you what, I'm still writing testimony on mine in. If there's any way that you can give me 5 more minutes or you can go, then I'll come. If you give me 5 more minutes, I'll be ready.
Oh, very good, dear brother. Just let us know when you are. Of course, Brother Robert gave us a great deal of information in that particular short talk that he gave. It's so full of information, and I can understand that we need time to record it.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, go right ahead, dear brother.
All
yes,
right,
sir.
Let's talk about the four piece that Sister Hitch spoke of. I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan telling me that the four beasts were America, Spain, America, England, France, and Germany, if I'm correct. I believe it was those four. Now, the question I posed was, why did the scripture, meaning Bible, refer to them as a beast? Minister Farrakhan said a beast is something that devours its prey. He said a beast is something that has no mercy when it devours its prey. So when you look at the characteristics of the beast and then you apply to these four great nations, this is what they have done to all the original people all over the globe. They have infiltrated the nations of the people of the planet and devoured not just the people, not just the resources. They've devoured everything that has come up out of the fields and the soils of all of the people all over the globe. When I heard Minister Farrakhan say this, it sent me on a deep search on why did he specifically mention these four nations. One day, I was listening to a lecture by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad going into the history of how Moses actually came into existence. He talked about a gentleman by the name of Faroun. He said Faroun was a black man in Arabia who went and gathered up all the Caucasians that black people had hid when the original Caucasians were outcasted from the holy city of Mecca. He said there was an agreement between him and the king, and he broke the agreement. So the king brought Faroun to himself. He said the king told Faroun he had one or two things to do. Either he was going to suffer the penalty for breaking the agreement, or he was going to pack up and get out of Mecca. So Faroun had decided to leave Mecca, and he took the Caucasians that we hid at that time with him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said these Caucasians, once brought into Egypt, were tricked by Faroun, and they were enslaved. He said after being enslaved, then this is when the prophet Musa was brought into the schools and to be taught about his mission. He says, after Musa was taught, Musa was raised to free, he said, 200,000 to 300,000 Caucasians that was in Egypt, and he freed them. And then he continued his second mission, he said, in Europe. So once I went and studied that aspect of the history, I found out that Moses, when he was there, produced two tribes of Caucasians. After he produced two tribes, he said that he sent one east, and he sent one south. He said the one that went south ramsacked Egypt. The one that went east ramsacked Babylon, modern-day Iraq. Now, Brother Gary, why are you bringing this up? I'm going to tell you why. Because this is where the 33 and the third degrees of Masonry began. After the 33 and the third degrees of Masonry, there were some of Yaqub's children, after being taught by Moses, who had received what we would call a little bit more higher knowledge. So you have what is called 54th degree Masons, who's in Germany. You have what is called a 42nd degree Masonry, which is in England. Then you have what is called a 33rd degree Masons in America. And this is why you have these four nations here dealing with our people in the way that they're dealing with them, because they've been given a superior knowledge to ensure that they were capable of fulfilling the prophecy of enslaving the darker people all over the globe. But the time is coming now for that knowledge and wisdom to be broken and the freedom of the black man all over the world to come into existence and us to rise to take our rightful place as rulers of the planet. And this is what I see in regards to that part of Sister Gibbs' question, Sam.
Wonderful information, dear brother. Wonderful information, certainly thought-provoking. and inspires us to study. Or at least speaking for myself, it certainly does. Inspire
I don't need no coffee tonight after hearing that, son.
That's right. That's right.
I love that. Crazy.
Proud of that young man right there. He is 34 years old. And he has an amazing and an anointed wisdom. And I said to him, I refuse to let your voice be silenced. I get him on every show I can.
Well, this is why these forums are so critical and why your work is so valuable. Invaluable, I would say, Sister Gidget, because it gives an opportunity to those who are otherwise unheard but have so much to say. And this is very, very, very important. This is the Creator's nation. And as such, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, when we study the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it brings so much out of us. A lot of good, as well as not so good, but it brings out of us our gifts, our skills, our talents, and we've got N plus our desire to utilize it and to express it. We've got to put it somewhere. And so we've got to extend these opportunities, these avenues of expression to our young, brilliant scientists, if you will. And so I'm so thankful to Allah for you, Sister Gidget, and this forum that you have offered to the people. May Allah continue to bless you.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. I hear and obey.
All praise is due to Allah. Now, as we are moving into the last half hour of this show, you know, there's a central figure that is supposed to be the savior and the destroyer of all of what we're talking about here in the way of the Adamic people's rule of evil. And this central figure is called and known popularly by the name of Jesus. However, it is important that the Jesus that is to bring this world to an end, to establish a new kingdom on earth, then we need to identify properly. This is why he said, let no man deceive you. And the scripture said, many will come in my name, and many will be saying, here am I, the Messiah. And there will be false prophets, according to the scriptures. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes in this particular segment of this series under the title, The Jesus of 2,000 Years Ago and the One He Prophesied to Come in His Name. He writes, remember our subject now, the time and what must be done. Well, out of the 6,000-year period of time that was given to the white race to rule on our planet, we have already lost 2,000 of those years for the made man in the hills and caves or cave sides of Europe. But when Musa came to them and taught them some of the forgotten trichnology of their father, Yaqub, Musa also taught them the righteousness of the Torah. Now they had to choose. Which one are you going to use as a guide for your life? If you choose the righteousness of the Torah, then you will live. You will escape that which comes at the end of the 6,000 years of your rule. But if you choose to follow the tricks and lies of Yaqub, then there will be an end to that world of evil. There will be an end to that people who are all called Satan, who deceive the whole world. Now, Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, I could read the list and the whole spectrum of faith expressions and labels, but they all talk about one to come, who is the embodiment of God himself and has the power to crush the wicked and to establish the kingdom of God on earth. However, there's much confusion about this one. So let's talk about this one to come. Brother Minister Robert, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, it's well documented by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the illuminating book, Message to the Black Man, whereby he gives to us all of that which the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us that Master Farah Muhammad fulfills. But he comes, and he at first, his identity is obscured, for it wasn't time. And as he got closer to his departure, he then began to reveal more and more of himself. But upon his departure, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, we have to ask ourselves the question, why do we call it the teachings in honor of Elijah Muhammad when he got everything he said he got from God?
Mm.
It is because he's the only one that really saw him as God.
That's right.
And
that's
this
right.
is what the, this was part of the source, according to the history of the FOI, by Brother Waqil Allah, Waqil Allah, that in fact, you know, led the hypocrites, got the hypocrites crazy, whereby they were thought the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was trying to make something of himself. But then the same thing is that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is the only one that teaches the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as the exalted Christ. Out of all the messengers, disciples, major disciples, over most of the major, so he had America rocking from one end to the other, the Caribbean and Central South America.
That's right.
But this one, Master Farah Muhammad, came to raise up one from our midst and make him a god. So Elijah Muhammad is exercising God power from behind the veil.
Yes, that's right.
And now we look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and as he told us in the Believers meeting, and said on several occasions that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him to be careful how he thought about people, because him and God would destroy that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I bear witness that Minister Farrakhan is slow to wrath.
That's
so
right.
Minister Farrakhan is backed by two, and he indeed has power because the things that he says to us, think about what he has us doing right now, Brother James.
Yes, sir.
Remember, if you will, just let me digress just a little bit to illustrate a point. When the Jews gave Spike Lee $33 million to produce Malcolm X, I know, like all the other student ministers in the nation, I know we had stacks of books on Malcolm, and we were about to throw down.
That's right.
That movie came out.
That's
Every
right.
Every one of us was ready. What did
That's
he
right.
do? He silenced us for 90 days.
That's right.
And that movie just it was taken out of the top 10 or the top movie spot by Left at Home or whatever name of that movie, Home Alone 2 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
that's
it
right,
bro. Away. And to bear witness to the wisdom that God is leading this man, I went to the movie theater in the middle of the day to watch Malcolm X. And when I started to go out the front of the theater, there was a television camera crew waiting for me.
Mm.
I never told anybody I was going to the movie. They were waiting for me. A Fox camera crew was waiting for me outside the movie. The brothers took me out the side exit so I wouldn't say nothing and get myself in trouble. And they took me with me off.
Mm.
Because the enemy knew what it is that he was trying to do, to stir that whole thing up. But look at what he's got us doing right now, brother. He's got us all saying the same thing, like the scripture you started off with. He's got us saying the same thing at the same time on the same subject. brother, that what he's absolutely doing is he's changing the very rotation of the earth by the truth that's reverberating all around. Mr. Farrakhan, I'll close with this point. Mr. Farrakhan is God's smoke detector in our midst. Carbon monoxide is colorless, tasteless, and odorless, but it's deadly. There is something going on that we can't see, we can't taste, and we can't smell, and we ain't hearing it either. But Farrakhan is going off like a smoke detector, and all we are those who are relaying this fact that the smoke detector is going off. We're like Paul Revere, the Black Paul Revere. The end is coming. The end is coming. The end is coming. And we're repeating this, and we're like repeaters, like cell towers. This is what we are. We're like cell towers. He's getting a signal from God. He's the lead wire. And he is sending that signal out. And we're like cell towers sending that message out across the world that, in fact, this is the time and what must be done, brother. I'm telling you, brother, this is powerful. The whole world, the whole United States is moving and reverberating and vibrating from this very message and these words, the time and what must be done.
That's right. All praise is due to Allah. That's right. Brother Gary, as we enter into the last quarter of this show, come on, brother. The floor is yours.
I tell you what, brother, I was sitting here asking myself, I said, Lord, Brother Gary, do you want to go there or what you want to do?
Go there.
Let's talk about this Christ figure. All right?
Yes, sir.
I remember one day in my studies, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that the enemy was not enough for Master Farrakhan Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in a Buzz Anderson interview that it wasn't necessary for that one that we currently had called at that time the Mahdi, Master Farrakhan Muhammad, to come back and deal with that. He said, Brother, I'll leave that up to my angels to take care of that. It made me think. I said, I see. So when I heard that, I flipped to the Al-Bukhari Hadith, and I started studying the words of Prophet Muhammad or the sayings of Prophet Muhammad. And I remember Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stating that in the West they saw the Mahdi and Jesus together coming. I said, okay. Well, if the prophecy says in the day of judgment that the return would be the Mahdi in Jesus, I had to pose the question. I said, well, how does this meet up with what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about it not being necessary for Master Farrakhan Muhammad to return? I said, unless once the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed, he wouldn't just be exalted to the Christ, brother, but he would be exalted as the Mahdi. Master Farrakhan Muhammad would take this man and make him like himself to where he would become so powerful that he would become self-guided. He would become so powerful in his knowledge that he now would have the power to exalt his first convert. And that was Louis Farrakhan. So the Bible gives you hints of a man by the name of Michael.
Come on.
Who was deputized with power to go to war with Satan and his angels. I said, so had Christ, named Crusher, one anointed that had the power to crush the wicked, but then Michael was deputized to crush Satan, and whoever Michael was, he had to be connected to the Christ, or he got to be the Christ.
Come on,
I said, no, if that's the case, then the Christ I'm looking for got to be Farrakhan. I said, this man, upon his departure, is going to be ascended. I said, and then anointed with a power to destroy all the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's enemies. I'm going to tell you why. Because this man will be given so much power, meaning Elijah Muhammad, that even his enemies wouldn't be enough for him. So the scripture says that that one who was God, we know to be Master Farrakhan Muhammad, placed him over everything but himself. I said, is that right? So if he placed them over everything but himself, what does that make the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
That's making him so powerful, brother, that the enemies of our world ain't enough for him. So he was going to make another man to deal with his enemies. And that one I believe to be the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I tell you, I love you all, but that's what Allah has shown me about that man and that title called Christ Jesus.
Well, I can tell you personally, dear brother, that I am absolutely supportive of that position, that exegesis, that understanding. And it is Quranic support for that as well. You know, the Quran says man is ever struggling, striving to meet with God. And he will meet him. The meeting, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is not necessarily a sit-down meeting with extended hands to shake. How you doing, God? Been struggling, striving to meet you, so glad I made it. But it's the actual coming, becoming one with the mind of God, being able to access the power of God and represent the manifestation of the power and presence of God in your being. Now, if the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and he did say, that I did not come to make a nation of followers, but I came to make a nation of gods, then the process by which ascension into that most holy and supreme position begins with one, continues with two, but if it's a nation, we have to anticipate that this process, the intention of which is for all who would submit themselves to the process to ultimately become divine manifestations of God. And as the scripture says, when the people would want to find God, they would have to come among us to find him, because he'd be everywhere in the people whom God has chosen to be the first fruits of them that slept and the full manifestations of his power and presence. So I'm right with you, Brother Robert. Any comments, dear brother?
You know, I'm telling you, brother, it's almost like all good things, brother. Now we cooking with cat grease right now, brother. It's hot.
Yes, sir.
In the theology of time, he said the sun is going down in the west. He said this teaching will raise a powerful sun and the spirit of truth from this part of our planet by us, from whom God has raised. No more will you look toward the east after this for a light of truth to come.
Come on, bro.
That light of truth, which the scientists of the east were not able to give you, will come from the west.
That's
that will
right.
Change the disposition of worship. You won't look to the west, nor to the east, nor to the north, nor the south for wisdom. Everywhere you go, you will find it. The Bible says and prophesies of the truth in that day. It says, you shall no more go out to Jerusalem, to the temple, or there at Jerusalem seeking God. But wherever you may be, you will be a temple yourself.
Come
Therefore,
on, brother, right.
It won't be
yes,
necessary
sir.
To go to no certain place, pointing out a house with truth in it. You will be the truth. That's Honorable Elijah Muhammad, theology of time. Come
all
on. Come on. Come
Man.
On.
Hey, brother, can I quickly say something, if you all permit me?
Absolutely, dear brother. And all I ask is that I have a minute just to reiterate, first of all, our expression of gratitude and to reiterate the purpose and vision of these shows. So go right ahead, dear brother. Go right ahead,
okay.
Brother Gary.
Yes, sir. I want to point out to the family or remind the family of what the scripture says about this Christ figure. The scripture says that the Christ figure would be called the bright and the morning star.
Come on, brother.
I posed the question. I said, what is the bright and the morning star when it comes to the solar bodies? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, brother, your history is written in the stars. Ain't that what he said? So I said, let me go study the stars. So when I studied the stars, I found out that the bright in the morning star is associated with the planet Venus. I said, huh, okay. The planet Venus, if my memory serves me right, is the second planet from the sun. Is that correct? Which left another planet in between Venus and the sun. So I said, I wonder what does the planet Mercury have to do with the most honorable Elijah Muhammad? And I said, I wonder what the sun has to do in its representation to Master Farah Muhammad. So when I looked at the planet Venus, the first thing came to my mind was Louis Farrakhan. I said, if he's the third man in the solar body, I mean the third man in the line of messengers in America, I said, then he would have to be the third planet in the solar bodies. And if he's the third planet in the solar body, then he would have to be given a scriptural name to represent that. And the only thing that I found, brother, was the Christ, who was the bright in the morning star. So no matter what I searched for, it kept pointing back to Louis Farrakhan. That's the only thing I was able to see. He's the bright and the morning star. Take it or leave it. Thank you.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Gary, and that takes us to 10:55. I'd like to take this time. Well, first of all, before I do, I want to ask Sister Gidget, is there anyone on the line at this late hour that has something that they want to say?
No, sir, but I will allow them a couple of minutes if they would. If you want to ask a question or make a comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. Again, those of you who are in the chat room, please type in the question and I will ask on your behalf. You may proceed, sir.
Thank you.
Brother Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Sister Gidget. And I'd like to say, as we move towards the end of this show, first and foremost, I want to thank Almighty God Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whose teaching, guidance, and message is the basis of this show and the basis for whatever truth that we hear coming, particularly, I'll speak for myself and Brother Minister Robert, I'm sure I can speak for him and Brother Gary. We thank Allah for that man and his steadfastness. We thank Allah for you, Sister Gidget, and for your generous extension of this great format that you have given to us, not only here, not only those of us who may be blessed to host the show, but to your growing listening audience. And we encourage those who are in the listening audience, let us get to know you. We'd like to have you on the show again. Our purpose is to attempt to unwrap the many gifts that are wrapped and unknown and otherwise unheard and undiscovered and unsung in this great nation of Islam, which encompasses the entire world. Our purpose also is to promote and to expand this dialogue on this great subject of the time and what must be done in hopes of inspiring, perhaps, study circles to come together that others who appreciate this dialogue will begin to form study circles and talk about this great subject of the time and what must be done. Our purpose is to be the greatest help that we could be in the dissemination of the word of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as we come to the end of the show, it's now 10:59. We invite you to come back next week for the next segment of The Time and What Must Be Done. Central, 8 o'clock Central Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you again, and may Allah bless us with the light of understanding as we thank you and greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Sister, Gidget, any closing remarks?
I would just like to remind the listening audience that we are on 6 days a week. You can join us on Tuesday night for our broadcast of Out on the Front Line with the Food of Islam, hosted by Brother Jahab Muhammad out of Atlanta. You can join us on Wednesday for our comedy hip-hop show with Brother DJ Black Caesar, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Join us on Thursday, which is a show that I host called Nation Builder Presents. This week we will be doing part three of Closing the Gap Between the Black Man and the Black Woman. Next Friday, of course, you can join us back here for our live study group with Brother Minister James Muhammad, studying the time and what must be done, keeping up with the curriculum that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has prescribed for us. And we will be back here next Friday at 8 p.m. Central. Tomorrow, join us at 8 p.m. Central again for Young, Gifted, and Black, which are the hip-hop artists of the Nation of Islam. We will have Brother Gat Turner. We will have Brother Problem 13, Sister Connie Songstress, Muhammad out of Phoenix, and who knows who else is going to show up. And on Sunday, join us for Economic Development with No Romance Without Finance, hosted by Brother Vernon Muhammad out of Columbia, Maryland, and that show is on at 6:30 p.m. Central. And so I hope that we have something that will interest you, and I thank the listening audience for your continuing support and all of your love and all of you callers. Even though y'all didn't say nothing, thank you for joining us tonight and helping Brother James W. his first study group. So all praise is due to Allah, to the listening audience, to the nation, and, of course, to my distinguished panel, the three wise men, Southwest Regional Representative Robert Muhammad, Brother Gary Mahatmas Muhammad, and my beloved brother and host that I am so proud of, and I adore you and I love you so much, Brother Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. And that's all I have, sir.
Thank you, and I love you too. And I want to thank Brother Minister Robert. And listen, brother, you created a monster in me with your generous expression of the help that you want to give. I will be trying to access it, brother, but just let me know if I get on your nerves.
Well, no, brother, you got to let me finish my PhD, brother. I'm trying to finish this PhD.
Oh, that's right. That's
in urban
right.
Planning and environmental policy. But I'm in order to have a certain sanity, brother, I'm studying all these sources in this particular discipline. But to discuss the teaching of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to listen to the beautiful mind of Brother Gary, Sister Gidget, yourself, and the callers and listeners to this show is what keeps me sane while I'm up here in this fortress of solitude. And make sure everybody tunes in tomorrow, 6 o'clock Central Time, NOI.org, to hear the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, Part 3 of The Time and What Must Be Done.
And what must be done. Thank you, Brother Minister. Thank you, Brother Gary.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You so much for the contribution you've made. I look forward to having you again on the show and with perhaps great regularity. I appreciate your study, dear brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's trying to be shy.
I said yes, sir. I said yes, sir. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Well, I think that brings us to the close. It is now 11:03.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.